Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 9 here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It simply says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season..." Everybody say in due season.
In due season.
In due season. A lot of times folks, they get weary in well-doing because they don't think, well, I've not seen my reward yet. I've not seen any kind of change or anything going on. But notice here it says that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, my Bible has a little heading over beside it there, a little footnote that says, if we do not give up. You see, and so that's what you and I got to understand, that we cannot get weary in well-doing. Okay? You got to keep right on doing what you're doing for God, no matter what. Because notice here, he says that in due season. In other words, when God's timing is right, God's going to bless you because you didn't faint or you didn't quit or you didn't give up. See, a lot of times, and I've told this story before, but there's the story of the lady that swam the English Channel, and she swimming, and it got real foggy, and she kind of started getting fear in her, and she couldn't see the other side of the bank or couldn't see where she was going. You know, she had boats floating along with her there, but she's swimming, and she finally just gets to the point to where she says, "You know what? I just come over here and get me. I've quit. I don't know where I'm at. I can't tell what's going on." And when she got in the boat and they moved a little bit forward and the fog cleared a little bit, she had almost made it. But she quit before she did. And she went back. She eventually did it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, you don't know. You might be on the precipice there of God moving mighty in your life. So it's not a time to grow weary. It's a time to stay with it. It's a time to just keep on going and not give up. Church, I'm telling you, there's so many people that are giving up. I know that there's things that we look at and we see and we think, my gosh, what about all this that's going on? But you know what? That's in the world. That's not in the kingdom of God. There's no chaos in the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? There's no chaos. God is a God of order. Everything is going along just as God planned. Now, understand that this world system, that's a different thing. That's under the control of the God of this world, Satan. And there'll be times that you go through some things and you think, man, I just don't know if I can take this or not. But you can. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. So Paul's letting us know here, and he's letting the Galatians know. He says, you just got to keep right on doing it. You can't get weary of well-doing. You've got to keep right on doing what's right, what you know is right, no matter what everybody else is doing. Come on, sometimes folks want to switch because everybody else is doing something. Well, let's go ahead and do that because that's what everybody else is doing. Well, if God didn't tell you to do that, then you better stay away from it. You better keep doing what God told you to do. Amen. You need to not be weary in your well-doing, because in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. Now, jump over here with me. I'll show you a story in 1 Samuel, and it's familiar. It should be. After you preach, you know, as long as I have, you tell a lot of the same stories. You preach a lot of the same stuff, and I have favorite stories. And this is one of my favorite stories here, and it's the story of David. That he's been out to battle. He's been doing what the Lord wants him to do. He's been fighting against the Philistines, and they're finally getting a break, and they're finally going to come home to their families, you know, and take a break from the fight. And so here in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Can I just stop here just a second? Just because you're doing the will of the Lord don't mean that some things won't come at you. You know, I know they were expecting to come back and have a big family reunion, getting back with their family, their wives, their kids. And here they are, and they come back, and they've been doing the work of the Lord. Come on, they've been, don't be weary in well-doing. They've been well-doing. And they come home, and when they're on their way, they see the smoke raising, and they get over there and they find out that their wives and their children have been taken captive. Their city has been burned with fire, and here they are. So they just begin to cry. You know, there's nothing wrong with crying every now and then. Now, here's the thing. You've got to get a hold of yourself. Come on now. You know, there's those times that you just want to have a good cry. Now, it just depends on your attitude when you're crying. Come on now. David's crying, and he gets to the point to where, you know what? He just quits crying now. And if you read on there and notice, you'll notice that after they'd cried till they couldn't cry anymore, they were sad about their family. No, there's nothing wrong with grief. Sometimes we fool gospel folk, we act like you can't grieve. But, you know, grieving is a natural process of getting past something. Amen. Now, you don't stay there. Did you hear me? Some folks never get past a grief state. There's nothing wrong with grief, but you've got to then be able to do what David did. Let's read on just a little bit farther. They were wept till they didn't have any more part of the week. And David's two wives were taken captive, and Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Notice that. David's not only got his wife and his wives and his kids gone, but now here they are. They want to stone him because of it. Well, he was right there with them fighting against the Philistines. But somebody got to take the blame. Come on, the pastor always gets the blame. David's kind of the pastor. He's the leader. He's the king, the priest, and right? So he's going to get the blame naturally. But notice what David did there. When they're blaming him, wanting to stone him, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, that's where you've got to get to. We've got to understand, folks, that we will go through some stuff. But you always have to circle back and come to this place where David came to, and that's to encourage yourself in the Lord. And realize that God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you fail. Amen. You've got to understand that. See, a lot of folks just think because they're not getting immediate results with something that God don't care. God does care. But everything is done in God's timing. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at what he says. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now, again, let me just explain to you. David was a king, a prophet, and a priest. One of the few that sat in all three offices. Now, David's been operating as a king because he's been out in the field with his men. They've been fighting. Now, when they come to this situation, David's inquiring of the Lord, so he's taking and laying down his kingship. And he's putting on the ephod, and now he's putting on the priesthood again. In other words, he's bringing himself down to the place to where he wants to inquire of the Lord and he wants to be able to hear from God. He's not the high, mighty man. He's the lowly guy that's brought himself before the Lord to inquire the Lord. And he wants to make sure he hears. See, sometimes we need to just bring ourselves down a notch. Come on now. We might hear better if we brought ourselves down a little bit. But he brings him the priest garment, the priestly garment. So David now has got on the priestly garment. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now notice this. I mean, you know, if there was ever a time you would have quit, you come back and you see everything gone. Right? Your wife's gone, your family's gone, your city's burned. It'd be a good time to quit. But instead of David quitting, he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's those times that you just got to go before the Lord and say, what do we do? Do we go after him, Lord? What do we do? And the Lord says, yeah, you go after him and you'll recover all. Now, if you go ahead and read, and I'm not for sake of time, I'll not read the rest of the story. But they went down after them, and they caught up with them. And they not only whipped up on them, but they ended up getting back everything that they lost, plus all the spoils that they had taken from other places. David ended up with their cattle and all that. And he began to go back and bless people. You see, David took what should have caused people to quit, turned it around, and it made him more than a conqueror because he was willing to stay with it. Sometimes your victory is this close, but you can't quit. I don't care how bad it looks. Maybe it looks like you've lost, but you've not lost yet. Amen. I remember a story Brother Willie and them has told, and I think I've told it from the pulpit a time or two, that they had a neighbor down there, and the man was so cancerous that he stunk. And they took him out of the house and put him in a little building outside the house, waiting for him to die. And, you know, they'd just give up on him and waiting for him to die. Matter of fact, some of the family started then fighting over what they was going to get. You know, because they've got him dead already, and they're already fighting about what part they're going to get and all that. But there was some folks from a church. Some Christians came along. And they came in and prayed for him. And God healed him. And brought him out of that. See, everybody else had already give up. But you see, God hadn't given up on him. And see, that's what you got to look at yourself. God's not giving up on you. Why in the world would you give up the fight? You got to just keep pressing in, pressing on, even if it's tough. Amen. David did that. He stayed with it, even though it was tough. You know it had to be, because they didn't know what they're going to find when they get down there. They just know they've been carried away, but they may have killed them by now. But God told him, he said, you go ahead and pursue and you'll recover all. He got everything, plus the Bible says other cattle, talking about what other people had had. You know, here's the thing, church. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Right? I mean, I know that's a cliche, but it's truth, because, see, the greatest struggles produce the greatest rewards. Amen. It's that doing the extra that makes you a step ahead. Amen. You know, I can remember, it's been a while, but back when I used to lift weights, one of the things that we would always do is, of course, we were trying to build, you know, and that kind of thing. And it definitely worked, because you got to tire muscles before they can, you know, that's how you build muscle. You tire muscles and then they scar and grow back, and that's what makes them build. But one of the things we'd always do when we started benching, you know, we'd start out with a weight that was, you know, fairly light, you know, for us at that time, to where we could do at least 10 reps of it. And then we'd just keep adding weight to it till we finally got to where we couldn't lift it no more. And one of the reasons we did that was because the results actually came with those like last couple that were just almost, if you got three, you had to add more weight. Finally get to where you just couldn't get it. You'd have to get something. Get it. Because you ain't getting it up there and it's going to come down on your chest. But it was those last ones that gave you the most results, because you pushed yourself. Because, you know, as long as you can do it, you're not challenging yourself much. You're not really, you can tone your muscles, but you're not really going to build them that way. Well, you know, in our spiritual muscles are a lot the same way. If we just keep doing what we know is easy, I mean, we're not going to grow much from that. Right? Come on now. God expects us to stretch ourselves. He expects us to push ourselves. He expects us to want more. We need to press in. That's why Paul says, I keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. We need to make sure that we're not just doing what everybody else is doing because it's easy. I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy being in church every time the doors is open. It's not. I mean, my yard needs to be mowed right now, too. Come on now. You know, I mean, there's things that goes on and you know, and people are just, they just kind of set God aside so they can do their stuff. It takes somebody to press in to say, my stuff will wait. God's first stuff's going to come first. See, that's a different attitude. That's a different person. That's, you know, we don't look at what we got to do. What we just look and see, what's my responsibility to God? And we press toward that more than we do anything else. Amen. I know that's in the times we're living in, that's a different attitude. But I'm telling you something. When I call on God, I can count on God. Because He knows I've given my all. I've pressed in. I've pushed, and I know that when I ask Him, I know He's going to answer. Amen. I don't have to worry because I wasn't where I was supposed to be last night or where. Yeah. Well, amen. So we press in, and doing the extra is what makes the difference. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen here. Let's just pick up in verse 1. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, and yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." Now, what's Paul saying here? He's saying this. Listen, number one, we're servants of the Lord, and it's required. Notice that. A requirement of a steward is to be found faithful. It's a requirement. You know, if you're not faithful to go to work, you'll get fired. Right? Most people wouldn't dream of not showing up on for work. But when it comes to the things of God, you can look around and tell they're not too concerned about that. I'm going to tell you something. You can't buy heaven with money. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't buy the blessing of the Lord with money. Amen. And I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord as all the money in the world. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. So he's saying, first of all, that we've got to be found faithful. And then he's really saying, don't worry what others are doing or what they think about you or what you're doing, because God's your judge. God sees what you're doing. Amen. People will look at you and they'll think, well, why in the world are you doing that? Or why in the world do you really have to go to church every Sunday? Do you really have to go every Wednesday? Do you really have to go to all the prayer meetings and all that? Do you feel like you just got to be there all the time? Yeah, do. Amen. You say, well, you're the pastor. You got to be there. Well, no, I don't have to be here. But I always have been, even before I was pastor. Why? Because I'm doing it for God. I'm not doing it for somebody else. I don't care. Other people can do what they want to. But when I rededicated my life back to God, I was all in. And I still am. Amen. There ain't nowhere for me to go back to. Come on. And especially in the times that we're seeing right now, only pressing forward, only moving forward with God. Amen. We've got to keep ourselves in that place to where we're doing what God wants us to do, because God is really given every one of us assignments. We're everyone's supposed to be, you know, ambassadors for Christ. We're everyone's supposed to be being witnesses of the goodness of God to our neighbors, to our friends. Wherever we go, we should be witnessing the good things that God's done in our life. So Paul's just saying, you know, stay faithful. Don't worry about what others are saying. Don't worry about them judging you, because God's your judge. Now, look over here in Acts chapter 5 with me. Let's look right there. Acts chapter 5. Because, you know, really, it's our duty to do what God tells us to do. Look down here around verse 14. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And it says, "And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles. That indignation means they were jealous. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered to the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keepers standing out without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I wanted to read all that so you'd see the story. I mean, God was doing great things, people being healed, and religious folks got jealous. Amen. The religious folks wanted them to quit doing what they were doing. See, there are folks that don't want to do nothing and they don't want you to do anything. They don't want to get involved. They don't want you to get involved. They don't want to take part. They don't want you to take part. Amen. So you have to just make up your mind. Are you going to listen to people or are you going to do what God wants you to do? Amen. They said we ought to obey God rather than man. The apostles refused to be silent. Notice they were right out there preaching after being put in jail for preaching about Jesus. The angel lets them out and they go right straight back to preaching. And again, and here they come and get them again. And they warn them and they actually beat them. But they find out, listen, this bunch has been with God. We recognize that there's something about them. If you read that whole passage down through there, they realized that they had been with God. They had been with Jesus. And see, that's what we need. We need the people to see that we're with God. God's on our side. He's in us. And we're in Him. They don't need to see quitters. They don't need to see folks that give up. They don't want it. They don't need to see somebody that's not staying true to what we say we are. Come on. We need to just keep pressing and be an example of a believer. Let's go one more scripture here, and we'll close here just in a second. Go with me to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Let's begin reading verse 1 here. We'll read down through 13. It came to pass after that we were gotten from them and launched, we came with a straight course to Cossus, the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over against Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was unlaid her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that we should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea and entered into the ship into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they there of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, notice here, they're again, God's moving, they're doing things, people's prophesying to them, but when the prophet comes down, he tells Paul what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem. Some of them warn him not to go. And then his friends, they jump on the bandwagon. "Oh, Paul, you can't go up there. Don't go up there." And he says, "Quit breaking my heart. Quit making it harder on me. Because I've already determined I'm going to Jerusalem even if I die. I'm going to do what the Lord's told me to do. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to do what God's told me to do, even if it costs me my life." Church, I'm going to tell you something. We've once God's telling us something, it doesn't matter what our friends are saying. Okay, it don't matter what your acquaintance is saying. Don't matter what people from other churches are saying. Don't matter what anybody else says. You have to do what God tells you to do. And you've got to stay with it. You can't back down and you can't quit. You have to do what God has given you to do. You have to do your assignment. Now, if anybody else don't want to do that, that'll be between them and God. But you have to do your assignment. You have to do what God has called you to do. And we all got different talents. We all got different anointings. But it's up to us to seek after God and say, "God, how do you want me to be part? How can I get involved? What can I do in the kingdom of God for you?" I already know that Sunday morning I'm going to preach on helps. It's just something God just laid it in my heart just to remind everybody again. See, you've got to understand something. I'll probably repeat this Sunday morning. But the same reward for the apostle will be the same reward for that person that helps. Come on, because they're all listed right there in that group over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we get over there and we'll see that on Sunday, we need to understand that's our jobs. We are soldiers in God's army. We are servants to God. And if we're faithful servants, then we'll do what He wants us to do, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else wants us to do. We'll do what God wants us to do. Because I put a little note here. We all have an assignment from God. Don't let anything stop you from accomplishing yours. Amen? All right. Would you stand with me? We're going to stay on assignment. You all are Wednesday night crew. You're